Guys, I'm really stoked about the kingdom of God. It is really real, and it's a dimension of God that is more real than this current reality. Remember, the Bible really describes that this physical dimension that we live in, this time-bound, space-bound, limited reality is scarce. It's limited. And even though God said anything's possible, and it is, what is living inside of you as a Christian is unlimited. The Spirit of God inside of you is unlimited. He describes His Spirit as a river that flows. And I want to encourage you today to point your spirit man forward. You know, don't hide your light under a lamp, Jesus said. And imagine that that light is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That light is the spirit man, the Holy Spirit who's in you, who is fused with your spirit. According to 1 Corinthians, your spirit is one with His Spirit if you are a Christian born again. So today, realize that anything is possible, that you are going to live forever with God, to know Jesus Christ, God's Son, is eternal life. Revelation 7 says that there's going to be myriad people who have been washed in His blood, who are going to worship Him and minister to Him forever. It says that God, Father God on His throne, is going to cover you with His presence. He's going to enfold Himself over you. And every tear is going to be wiped away and your soul is going to be satisfied. And that's really what I'm speaking to down here, is our soul is not satisfied. We have a hope of our salvation. We're waiting for our bodies to be redeemed. We know in our spirit, we're groaning inwardly for the sons of God to be revealed, like creation is groaning. It's subject to futility. What does that mean? It means things die, things decay. Your body gets wrinkles and you get older, and your hearing and your you know, mind and things can slowly diminish over time. But inside of yourself, you know that that is not who you are. You know that you're meant to live forever. You know that you're never meant to die. And the good news is you will never die, and you will receive a body that is going to be raised imperishable. You are going to have, everything is going to be like the kingdom seed. The kingdom seed inside of you is the one thing that you have right now that is imperishable. Your body's perishable, your mind and emotions can change, your circumstances can change. As I said, your soul, it's not satisfied. Yes, He's the lover of your soul. He leads you and guides you into all truth. He comforts you. But we need comforting. It says in Revelation 7 that those who overcame, what did they overcame? They overcame the great pain and tribulation. Let me just bring it up here, because I love the Passion Translation. So we go down to Rev, the apocalypso, the unveiling. So Christ is unveiled. You can change your Instagram handle, your biography to the witness. That is what you are. On this earth, you and I are the witness. If it wasn't for us, there would be no proof of Jesus Christ, of His death, burial, resurrection. But because we're here, because we are standing here and seated here, we are the witness. When people see you, they have evidence that Jesus Christ is alive, because when they see you, they see Him. So when they see you, they know that Jesus Christ is alive. You are the testimony of Jesus. You are testifying. You are the light in the world. And that's all I need to say about that. So it says here, in Revelation 7, let's see if I can pull up the Passion Translation. This is the ESB or something. After this, I looked, and behold, right in front of me, I saw a vast multitude of people, an enormous multitude, so huge that no one could ever count them, made up of victorious ones, that's you and me, if you're born again, from every nation, tribe, people, and language. They were all glistening in white robes, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, with palm branches. And they shouted out with a passionate voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." Isn't that beautiful? And it says in the next couple of verses, "My Lord," so the elders ask, "Who are these ones in glistening robes?" And John says, "I don't know." And then he answers, "They are the ones," this is you and me, "who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, and have emerged from the midst of great pressure and ordeal." Isn't that our life, right? We've emerged from the pressure, from the great pressure and ordeal of this life. And I think that that's really the dichotomy, the paradox that we're living in inside our spirit man, which I'm calling you to live forward, live with your spirit man forward. Wake up each day and say, "God, I'm going to live for you. God, I'm going to allow you to live your life through me." You wake up and you stand up and you point your face upwards to God, and you allow his face to shine on your face and to favor you. It doesn't matter what ordeal and great pressure you're going through. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. You make a decision. You have the power to decide to point your spirit forward, because God is wanting to move through you. He's wanting to live his life through you. And what this means is you need to accept you. In all of your randomness, you know yourself better than anyone else. You know your weaknesses, but this should not limit God from using you. He wants to use you, your flavor, your color, your personality, your character, things that you think are a weakness. Now, I said this to my children. They love watching YouTube, which is really the new television. They never, ever watch television, ever. So, except for the cricket. But the new YouTubers, I said to them, every one of these famous influencers on YouTube, some teenagers, some adults, they are very, very unique. They are very, very unique. You know, one of them's really, really honest, you know, talks about his family, shows himself crying and his mum and dad and all their mess. But he's not apologetic for who he is. And he has millions of subscribers. And then the next one is, you know, really dorky, really nervous, really embarrassed, you know, no confidence at all, sort of awkward. And he has millions of followers. And then another one's really fun and happy and clumsy and overweight and diabetic. And, you know, you always see his, you know, stomach jiggling as he eats too much food. So what I'm saying is there is no recipe or pattern for success on YouTube. In fact, the only pattern I see is people are vulnerable and transparent in themselves, in their uniqueness. You know, really, look at the famous people. Elvis Presley, no one like him. You know, Mick Jagger, no one like him. You know, the Beatles, maybe not the Beatles. Michael Jackson. You know, these people weren't famous because they copied somebody else. You know, don't copy other Christians. Don't try and be somebody else. I am Jonathan. I'm unique. I'm all of those things, bombastic. So random, spontaneous, don't exaggerate. But I'm an advocate of the kingdom, and God is wanting to move through you, your package. When he comes out of your spirit man, yes, he is in inverted commas, you know, tainted through your soul. But he doesn't mind that. He's not bothered by that. It's not sin when you are the way that he made you. So this is the secret to living in the kingdom. You've got to go to where God is. It's what is inside of you. As I preached two or three episodes ago, the universe is inside of you. And when I say universe, what I mean is the kingdom that contains the universe is inside of you. And it doesn't make sense, but it's real. And when you face God and when you make a decision to put your spirit man first, I'm going to walk into this battle. I'm going to walk into this unknown. I'm going to walk into this chaos with the kingdom, with the abundance of God living on the inside of me. And I'm going to allow my light to shine. What I'm saying is a decision, but it's also an act of faith. So let me pray now. Father, would you help us to move into this place of resurrection power? Thank you, Lord, that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead dwells inside of us. Thank you that we can face God and have your face shining upon us so that we are radiant in this life. God, as we go into situations where we don't have all the answers, we are standing on the rock of your word, which is a firm foundation. As we go to pay our bills with no money in the bank sometimes, or we are given projects from God that are bigger than we can imagine, we go with the abundance of the kingdom inside of us. We speak from the throne room when we speak. We pray from the throne room when we pray. And I just want to encourage each person, God, to live with their spirit man first, to actually allow the river to fill their lives, that these people and can live with the Ezekiel River in front of us. Every day as we wake up and pray in the spirit, Ezekiel 47 is flowing out of our belly, and it becomes, you know, river deep and knee deep, and then eventually neck deep, and eventually becomes a torrent that takes away our entire life. So we don't even know where we've gone. And we find that one day we're standing before you and you say, good and faithful servant, you fed the hungry, you clothed the naked. And we'll be like, what? I don't remember doing that, because we were just totally given over to service. We were totally given over to you, God. We live as people who aren't even focused on this world. We're not focused on our lives. I just want to share one thing in closing. And it's something that I heard another Christian say, Jamie Walden. And he said that cowardice, to be a coward, cowardice is self-protection. A coward is somebody who, when push comes to shove, they will always choose to protect themselves. Just remember that. When are you going to, you know, those who lose their lives will find it. But those who try to save their life, they're going to lose it. But in a very microcosm sort of way, you know, every time you hide your light, every time you, you know, go to worry or go to fear instead of going to God, it's like you're protecting yourself. It's cowardice. And remember, Revelation says the first that are thrown in the lake of fire, and that's not for us, but that those who are thrown in the lake of fire are the cowards first, and then the unbelievers, and then the sexually immoral. So we want to be those who, we can't do it. Yes, we're weak. We feel like hiding sometimes, running away, but we can't do it in our own strength. So the Holy Spirit puts to death the deeds of our flesh. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live this Christian life. We can't do it. We totally rely on the Holy Spirit to put to death and to be a warrior. It says of Gideon that he was a judge, that he was a prophet, and that he was a warrior. And those are the three things that we need to be. We need to judge what is right, what is wrong. We need to judge the boundaries of our life. What are we going to protect at all costs? What is a not negotiable in our life? You need to predetermine the boundaries. I will not compromise on this. I will never change on this. And you need to know who your friends are and who your enemies are. Remember, as the Ark of the Covenant in 2 Samuel chapter 6 came into Jerusalem, David was dancing before the Lord, sacrificing bulls every 6 feet, every 6 steps, and David's wife hated him. Another man died, Uzziah. He died because he put out his hand to touch the Ark. So there are going to be these three types of people. There are going to be people who want to touch you. And God says, hands off, because that's the Ark of my covenant. They are my place on the earth. They are, that Christian is the moving, talking temple of God on the earth. And he's going to tell people around you, he's going to tell you, don't associate with that person because they want to put out their hand and they want to touch. They want to touch what is holy and they're not worthy to touch it because I haven't permitted them. Then there's going to be the people like David who dance before the Lord undignified. And that is who you and I are. We're going to be that people group who worship God at all costs, who seek first the kingdom at all costs, who have determined our boundaries ahead of time. And we're the ones who are taking the ark into the center of the city. I said we're taking the ark into the center of the city where we will be seen and where he will be glorified. And then the third type of people, it says of David's wife, she hated him because he worshipped God. She hated him because he was undignified before the Lord. Don't let people control you. And also it says of her that she never bore children because she, God will never, he will never extend the influence of people who hate him, who are against him. He doesn't want her to be fruitful because he doesn't want more of her. He doesn't want more multiplication of unbelief. He doesn't want multiplication of people who are offended. He will not multiply you. He will not increase you. So you've got to get your heart right. You've got to forgive others. You've got to get right with God. And you've got to take your hands off the things you're not meant to be touching. And you've got to be with him on the program that he's on. And that is bringing Jesus into the center of your life, into the center of everything. Thank you, Father, for this incredible podcast. Thank you, Father. And I'm just going to read this last verse from Revelation 21, verse 8. Let's go back to verse 7. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and they will be my children, and I'll be their God. But the cowardly, first, the unbelieving, second, the vile, murderers, and sexually immoral, third, and those who practice magic arts, idolaters, and liars will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. So, wow, look at that. The first to be thrown into the sulfur are the cowardly, those who protected their lives. Like a soldier who's been trained for battle, dressed for battle, he's wearing the armor, he's carrying the flag, and then when the first shot is fired, runs away. We are not those who shrink back, says the Lord. We are not those who shrink back, but we are those who stand. Remember, in Revelation, we are not those who shrink back. Those who remained unto the end were saved. Those who remained unto the end were saved. Those who loved not their life unto the death. So thank you, Father. We again invite your Holy Spirit to burn everything that's not of you and to fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord God, to empower us. God, would you speak to the spirit men and women of the people who I'm talking to today and of their friends and families and their communities that they would know in their spirit man who they are and what they have, that they would face God and be seen by God today and that they would allow their river to flow, which is the river that flows from the throne of God. That river is the flowing under the feet of God from his throne, out of your belly on earth, there is a connection of heaven to earth, and it's through you, and it's through you alone. Angels ascend and descend upon you. And as you go, God goes. And he's saying again, and you guys missed it, but I mentioned it a few minutes ago, that you and I, you are God's place on the earth. You are what he's doing. You are where he's at. So I pray that again, these people in their spirit man and their communities would learn intuitively in their spirit man, and by the assistance of angels and by revelation. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. Paul says we are empowered with might in our inner man, strengthened with might in our inner man. Lord, strengthen us with might in our inner man. Strengthen these believers with might in the inner man. That's what it is, God. Give it to them, Lord. Do it in their hearts. Let them just know that there's been a change, even after this message. Everyone who's had the patience and the humility to listen to me talk for all these episodes, Lord, give them 100 times what was sown. Make them fruitful, Lord. Make them prosper. Lord, make their spirit man forward today. Lord, an explosion, an increase, an avalanche of your glory, Lord. I feel like all you have to do is, it's a tiny little turn. It's pointing him. When you go to work today, point him. When you go into your prayer closet, just face him. You know, when you walk into a meeting, direct your spirit man like it's a beam of light out forward. Don't hide your light. I feel like you're going to become connected with your inner man. You're going to feel the mountain of God on the inside of you, which is the kingdom of God. And you're going to let it emerge. You're going to let it burst forth out of you in Jesus' name. At the end of the day, if you heal people, if you raise somebody from the dead, and if you prophesy, and if you speak, and demons flee, and eyes are open, and ears are healed, it's because the kingdom of God inside of you flowed out of your belly and was like a river that flowed and it exploded and it burst forth. I want you to start to expect God to do things, signs and wonders. Even if you go into a workplace that's wicked and it's like full of vile people, he loves them. He wants all men to be saved. He's not holding man's sins against them. And we are going to be a witness. I said, we are going to be a witness. So God, we say, like John, less of us and more of you today. God, I pray this isn't just head knowledge, God, but an impartation. That everything that's holding people back from this experience of glory. Lord, you want glory to fall upon us. You want glory to be seen upon us. You will exalt us in due time. You've seated us. You've called us sons. You've put a ring on our fingers. You've clothed us with righteousness. You've given us the helmet of salvation. And this is what Jesus said, when you pray in my name and my Father answers you, he will be glorified. God wants to answer your prayers. He wants to perform signs and wonders for his glory. When I talk about glory on us, it's him, it's his, he gets glorified, we get the joy. That's what Jesus said in John 20 and around there. The glory that we experience is his fullness. Christ in us, the hope of his fullness, which he wants to give you and he's already given to you. And one day, you will experience him in fullness. You will see him face to face. You will wear his clothes. You will bear his name. And you will look just like him. And right now on this earth, as it says, you know, our soul has trouble. He comforts us. We overcome. But in this world, we can choose to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. To you be all the glory, Lord God, in Jesus' name, forever and ever. We're the ones who drink your blood. We're the ones who eat your flesh. We're the ones who wear your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Bye for now. Hey guys, let's pray together for the nations on the earth. And I pray in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are united with all the embassies of God on the earth, which are the churches that believe in him and that are washed with the blood of the Lamb. We have a very important job right here. We're on the earth and God's in heaven and he's given the keys to us. And I'm going to save you 1,000 hours of research into aliens and the mark of the beast and next generation autonomous weapons and the COVID vaccine and the League of Nations and the Club of Rome and the World Economic Forum and the International Settlement Bank, etc., etc. Listen, the secret to all these truthers and preppers is this. No one's in control. God has given the earth to man. And unfortunately, as Jesus and Paul said, this whole world is under the sway, the control of the evil one. So really, these organizations, they're not really in control, but they are, because they have been given authority as man over the earth. The man has authority over the earth because God gave it to us. So whatever you want to do, you can do. You can pick up a rock and kill someone, or you can pick up a rock and build a house for a homeless person. So what you are sensing in the earth, yes, there's a demonic agenda. Yes, there are evil people who are hell-bent on destruction. Remember, the devil's kingdom is stealing, killing, and destroying. So when you see steal, kill, destroy in the education system, when you see steal, kill, destroy in the medication system, get it? You know who it is. It's the devil. It's not God. God comes to bring life. So there is no one world government, you know, group of people, although there is. But what it really is that you are looking for, which, who is it? Who's the, you know, who's in charge of the earth? Is it the Rockefellers or the Rothschilds or the Illuminati? No, it's the devil. It's just the devil. And he is using them. He's tricking them. Some of them, yes, they talk face to face with Lucifer himself. He physically walks among them and talks to them, okay? And they worship him, and they take instruction from him, and he says, do this and do that, okay? Other people have not met him personally, but they receive information, dreams and visions, out-of-body experiences. They travel, there's teleportation. These things happen to people in government. These things happen to people who, you know, the devil has chosen. Some of them are in the satanic church. Some of them, maybe even in your church. So it's very complicated. It's not like you can pinpoint the CERN Hadron Collider is the seat of Satan and that's where Satan dwells. And it doesn't matter. What I'm saying is that Lucifer, and if you read my book, you'll have to read it 10 times. But if you read my book, and this is a prayer meeting, not a promotion of my book, but if you read my book, you will understand that Satan was kicked out of heaven. So he cannot access heaven now. We can access heaven. We are in his place. He used to be able to go into the throne of God. He used to be able to accuse man to God. But now the blood of Jesus Christ has changed all of that. Okay, because we have access to the throne of God, not the devil. He was kicked out. He fell like lightning. He can't accuse us all day because the blood has washed us clean and the law has been broken. The law that was against us has been nailed to the cross. That's why everyone's already forgiven. They're not saved until they repent, but everyone's forgiven, as the Bible says, God is not holding man's sins against us. So the timeline is difficult to explain and intricate. But I believe that even Job, you know, who was accused by the devil, I don't believe that that is how things operate right now. It doesn't matter. That's another whole theological discussion. But God is not taking orders from the devil. The devil has lost his place. Okay? The devil has lost his place. And in Zechariah 3, we see that that Satan was there to accuse, Joshua. And God just said, the Lord rebuke you. So either way, the devil has no power. It's been given to man. God has given the keys to man. But this is where the devil gets power, when man agrees with him. You see, the devil can come and tempt you, but it's up to you. Jesus did not agree with the devil. He did not agree with the devil. But even in the church, the Bible says that those have been taken captive by the devil to do his will. So there are people who are even born-again Christians who can be in agreement with the devil. And then the kingdom of darkness is manifest. When you agree with God and obey, the kingdom of light is manifest and expands. When you agree with the devil and obey him, the kingdom of darkness expands. So really, that is what's happening at the very top. It's happening in military. It's happening in government. It's happening in churches. It's happening everywhere that people agree with the devil. So it isn't just one world government, Illuminati. It's the devil and people in agreement. And that is what we need to change. That's why God goes after people's hearts. That's why God wants to write a new law on their hearts so that they want to do what's good. That is why it always requires repentance. Repentance is a change of mind, a change of heart, and a change of direction as you agree with God. That's why Paul is always saying, read the word, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Use the scriptures which are useful for edification, for training and rebuking and correcting. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the washing of the water of your word. Yes, some people are saved and born again and it's a done deal. And then there are other people who are not saved and not born again and they'll never repent and they even worship Satan. And I know that those things are violently opposite. But there are a lot of gray areas in the middle. And this is where most people are working in ignorance. Remember, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that we are not unaware of the devil's schemes. We are not unaware of his schemes, and that is his strategy. So the devil has strategies. In 2 Corinthians 10, it says, we cast down every high thing. That's talking about imaginations. So there are people who are in the one world government and in the media who are there in agreement with the demonic in imagination. They are seeing what the devil wants them to see. They want nuclear war because he wants nuclear war. They are implementing the strategies that Paul said we are not unaware of, the demonic strategies, right? So the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Of course he wants nuclear war. Of course he wants a one world government. Of course he wants there to be a cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, blockchain enslavery system for the whole world. Of course. But there are millions of angels that are holding this back. Okay? Now, some of these things must come because God's judgment will come upon the earth. The Bible says that calamity does not come upon a nation unless the Lord decrees it. So there will be a decree, there will be wars and rumors of wars, and God's not necessarily trying to stop them because some of them are prophetic fulfillment and some of them are a result of the decisions and the behaviors of people. God will not be mocked. Some calamity will come upon nations because they sinned, they didn't repent, and because of just bad management. If you eat junk food all the time, don't blame God for getting diabetes. And that's going to happen on a global scale. But one day, the heavens will be rolled up like a scroll. I don't mean God's heaven. I mean the sky. You know, the atmosphere will catch fire, the Bible says. So we're not trying to stop what we know is going to happen. But as we pray, this is what we pray. Lord, we know, Lord God, that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as chief among the mountains, according to Isaiah chapter 2. Lord, we know that the nations scoff and they mock you, Lord Jesus Christ, but you laugh, Father God, and you put them in derision. So God, we do just ask that you would confuse the enemy camp. Lord, we do ask, Lord, that their plans would be futile, that according to Proverbs, God, that these people who've laid a trap would themselves fall into it. Guys, I've prayed enough. I've given you how to pray about these things. So don't waste your time on, you know, which nation's going to do what, when, and biblical timelines. But pray the prayers, pray the scriptures, pray. God is not doing any of these bad things. God is raising the dead, healing the sick, setting the captives free. Isaiah 61 is what God's doing. Pray for that. Pray for the hungry to be fed. Pray for the naked to be clothed. Laugh with God at the nations, thanking him and asking that they would fall into their own traps. God, we confuse the enemy camp. We thank you, Lord, their quantum computers won't work. Their mark of the beast system won't work. Their computer chips will be fried. You know, who knows, even by a solar flare, Lord God, whatever they are laughing and planning to do, it will not happen. God, the chess pieces will not happen. You know, the things that are going to come, they want these certain things to come, but it won't be by their hand. It'll be by your hand, Father God. Lord, would you humble the nations, God? The Bible says, God, that you hold the hearts of kings as water in your hands, Lord. So thank you. You can move Biden and these people. You can move Bezos, these kings of the earth. You can move these people who have the money and the power. You can move them in your hands like water. Lord, we pray, Lord God, that you would move them like water. It also says, God, that you hold the shields of the earth. You hold the shields of the earth. The gold is mine, says the Lord. The gold is mine, says the Lord. So, Lord, redistribute the wealth, Lord, into the church. We pray that the nations would be saved. We pray that you would put your feet on the land and on the sea and declare that the nations, that the kingdoms of this earth have become the kingdoms of our God. And we just pray that revival would come to your church, that the church would wake up in Jesus' name, and that even Fergus McIntyre, the great prophet, that his vision of the church rising up and standing as a giant would be seen in these last days, that we would be humility and humble, God, but clothed with power in Jesus' name. Lord, expose corruption in the Catholic Church. Expose corruption in the world and in the nations. Let all of their plans come out, Lord God. Release the people who are for you and for the truth in Jesus' name. Even Julian Assange, and all, I don't know if he's with you or whatever, but we pray that the truth would come out in Jesus' name and their plans would be thwarted, that there'd be prosperity on the earth, that you would put people with right judgments, righteous leaders in charge in every municipality and government and council and high school and primary school and court and judge in the earth would be righteous in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we clean out the wicked, evil rulers who aren't from you, and we put men and women of God in power in the earth in Jesus' name, and that they would be broken under the mighty hand of God, humble and quivering under your mighty hand. And we declare that your power would do this in Jesus' name. So guys, you know how to pray. You don't have to figure out every nation and who's good and who's bad and who's the sheep and who's the goat. You don't have to figure out who's the sheep and who's the goat, because Jesus said, allow the weeds and the wheat to grow together until the end of the age. So you got to live with it. You got to deal with it. There are going to be people in your church who are not of God. There are going to be people in your church who are witches and warlocks and clouds without rain. Don't worry about them. God will deal with them. You be you. You love them. You might need to rebuke them, kick them out at times. Paul said to do that. Do not associate with somebody who calls themselves a believer, but they're not. Do not even eat with them. So there's going to be a boundary, guys. Don't be afraid to judge those in the church. As I said earlier in this episode, we are like Gideon. We are judges, we are warriors, And we are prophets. We're also priests and kings. We're also sons. We're daughters. We're children. But we are also peacemakers. And a peacemaker is violent. I said a peacemaker is violent in the spirit. They're violent in their decision making. They're violent. Remember, nobody did anything unless they were angry. In other words, passion is going to move you in this season. Passion is going to move you to pray. Passion is going to move you to not compromise. Passion is going to move you to finish the race. In Jesus' name. And I tell you in the spirit, and mark my words prophetically as a prophet, that the things the devil is doing to you right now, they are going to backfire in his face. He's standing on a stool with a noose around his neck and he's tripped. And I hear a crack of the devil's neck because he's gone too far. Everything he's tried to do to discourage you is going to backfire. It's going to cause you to be violent in the spirit. Remember, the persecution caused the church to be scattered and to propagate the entire earth. The persecution and the imprisonment of Paul made the believers all the more zealous to preach the gospel. The crucifixion of Christ backfired on the devil. And it said that he wouldn't have done it if he knew what he was doing. And that's exactly, he cannot help himself. He's played his hand. He's tried too hard. He's done too much. He's lost. And I'm telling you, devil, you've lost. And as we finish this prayer time, and as we pray, we're saying, ha, 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 you have lost. Even the war in Israel, it's backfired. Thank you, Jesus, backfired. The Muslim nations are not going to fall into the trap of being provoked. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Guys, I don't know how to say this, but this is very serious. Without fear, but with fear and trembling, with an adoration of God, you've got to be ready to be discerning. You've got to be ready with the Word of God, with the lamp of oil burning. You need to be able to discern the times and the seasons. Is this of God? If we experience peace in the Middle East, is it God bringing peace? Or is it the Antichrist who's about to take power? You know, as I said, we can't really pray to stop the things that are written because they have to happen. But we can pray according to the Word of God. Remember, judgment, calamity only comes upon a nation if God allows it. Hallelujah. Fire. The Holy Spirit's going to pray for you and through you in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Your return will void. Your word will not return void, but it will accomplish the thing for which you have sent it today. In Jesus' name, angels will perform it. Amen.